What's love got to do with it? The title of Tina Turner's comeback hit of 1984 speaks volumes to our confused and conflicted relationship to love. On the one hand, we have Valentine's Day, a feast of greeting cards and chocolate. Don't forget, this Thursday. Valentine's Day initially was a celebration of romantic love, but now so broadly read as to encompass all forms of loving and compassionate relating. Then again, specifically for us Unitarian Universalists, we have our Universalist moniker of God as love, that love and the divine are merely interchangeable names for the same underlying process. The phrase, standing on the side of love, expresses our commitment with our whole being to action through loving kindness 24/7. Love as sweetness versus love as ethical commitment. There is no better exemplar of the contradictory aspects of love than Tina Turner's life. She was born Anna Mae Bullock in West Tennessee near Memphis to a loveless family. Her mother and father, Zelma and Richard, never wanted her and constantly fought with each other. In Tina's words, "The fact is, I had no love for my mother or my father from the beginning, from birth, but I survived. To tell the truth, I haven't received a real love almost ever in my life. People look at me now and think, what a hot life I must have lived. Ha! I have never found a real, lasting love, but I have survived." Later, when Anna Mae met Ike Turner as a 16-year-old, she never felt romantically attracted to him. He was a bit pompous and an in-your-face womanizer. Their affectional relationship was more like that of brother and sister than that of lovers. But Anna Mae was drawn to the rising stardom of the group and put up with Ike's violent physical abuse of her that would bruise her so much that she'd always carry a makeup bag with her to cover the wounds on her face. She stayed with him out of fear of retaliation and from her ambition as a rising star. It was in 1974 when Tina found her strength. Ike brought a woman, Valerie, around who was a Buddhist chanter and taught Tina the Japanese Nichiren chant, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. Good Baptist at the time, Tina would start with the Lord's Prayer and then recite the Nichiren Buddhist chant afterwards. Ike freaked out when Tina created an altar and became afraid. As Tina relates, "I could now feel the power deep inside me stirring up after all those years. And I would think about Ike's face, how funny it was to see him scared. To know at last that he was not all-powerful, that he wasn't God, that there was a little piece of God inside each of us, inside me too, and that I could find it and it could set me free." That's when I really started chanting. A couple of years later, Tina mustered the courage to leave Ike and began her long road to autonomy. More recently, she described herself as a Buddhist Baptist. God gave her faith to find the divine within, and in the mystical, as she terms it, hum of the chant, where she finds everywhere the sounds of the universe. She's almost allergic to the idea of love. When Jerry Britton, the songwriter, approached her about singing, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" Tina balked. She felt that the lyrics were too sappy. Tina was more of a torch song type, for whom love was distant and unrequited. Tina is a product of our cultural sensibility. She is cynical about love, came from a broken family, bereft of affection, and for years submerged her identity in a vacillating, powerful, and capricious, godlike Ike. Both Tina and we might view her transformation into Buddhism as a loving God's grace, a gift of serenity and self-assuredness that lit up a path for her towards contentment. The yearning for ordinary romantic love for Tina was a distraction from discovering herself and finding the meaning in her craft. For Tina, God is neither father nor mother, not even particularly personal, but an abstract presence, the centering hum that interconnects all things. If Tina's story is about the lack of interpersonal love in her life, then the ancient Arabic and Persian story of Layla and Majnun is about a superabundance of love unfulfilled. Majnun is the son of an Arab tribal leader in central Saudi Arabia, and Layla is the daughter of a nearby chieftain. As teenagers, Majnun and Layla fell madly in love with each other, and Majnun started writing crazy love poems to Layla. I mean, really crazy. The Arabic word for Majnun means crazy one, on account of the intensity of his lyrical poems. When Majnun approached Layla's father for his agreement to have the two kids marry, Layla's father rebuffs him, citing Majnun's madness as a deal breaker. Majnun, in his despondency, retreated to the desert wilderness, still obsessing over and composing his love lyrics to Layla. But it's here in the desert that the rubber meets the road. Majnun became a pacifist and nonviolent. He would stop hunters from killing gazelles because the black eyes of the gazelles would remind him of Layla's. He then became a fearless ally of predator and prey alike, lions and gazelles, on account of the fearlessness of his nonviolence. When one of Majnun's friends mounted an army to confront Layla's father by force on a battlefield to win marriage for Majnun, Majnun faltered and became confused. How can his friends battle Layla's relatives? Are not Layla's relatives an extension of her for whom Majnun himself would sacrifice? He finally stopped the battle in his flagging enthusiasm. Ultimately, Layla's father betrothed her to another suitor, and both Majnun and Layla died separated, longing for and in love with each other. The story of Layla and Majnun became an important Persian Sufi allegory of God as love. And we heard another wonderful prayer from Katie, written by Hafiz, about the importance of love in Sufism. As a Sufi friend of mine, Parvez Rasti, once told me, there is a story among Sufis that after Majnun had died, his soul appeared to the angels of judgment. And in Islam, everyone is judged in accordance to whether they believe in God or Allah. So the angels asked him, "Whom do you believe in?" He responded, "Layla." Confused, they inquired of him again, "Whom do you believe in?" Again, he insisted, "Layla." Growing totally frustrated, they demanded a third time, "Whom do you believe in?" And he screamed, "Layla, Layla, Layla." The angels, totally confused about whether to admit Majnun to heaven or to banish him to hell, turned to God and told him their situation. God said, "That's all right. He just knows me by my name of Layla." So human love is complex and bundled with emotions. It is bundled with fear of separation, anger at rejection, and loneliness at loss. It is a bittersweet creature, as the poet Sappho so eloquently phrased it. Because of our limits and our finitude as creatures, we respond to divine love with our natural tendencies to protect ourselves from it, as Tina did until she found self-love in Buddhist equipoise, or as Majnun, the mad one, wholly committed to an unattainable beloved whose love was raised to such a pitch that he acquired the ethics of nonviolence. The beloved with a thousand faces seen in the eyes of all creatures. Majnun standing on the side of love. Let us, as Unitarian Universalists, not run from the complexity of love, but commit ourselves wholly to this erratic and topsy-turvy love, recognizing the divine within and the beloved without. Amen, and blessed be.